You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Carrie Saldo, Worcester Bureau reporter for WGBH, and Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Carrie, Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
This week, Springfield Congressman Richard Neal defeated Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse in the Massachusetts 1st Congressional District Democratic primary. The margin was about 18 percentage points. With no competition on the ballot in November, Neal is all but assured a 17th term in office. Outside a Springfield polling place, voter Juan Rivera explains why he voted for the incumbent.
I live in the north end of Springfield, and he's been very responsive to us. Also, you know, he's the chairman of the House Ways and Means. And I think that, you know, he's been responsive to his district.
Neal faced an opponent in Morse who says he raised $2 million and really pushed the congressman on the issues. Still an 18-point victory, Carrie. Are you surprised by that margin?
Well, it's really interesting, Adam. If you're watching the race from the outside, watching national news, and I was reading a lot of it on election day, and I thought, wow, Morse is going to run away with this. But then, obviously, I'm reporting from here and thinking and hearing a very different story, where it was a much closer race. Obviously, Neal has the benefits of incumbency, and he definitely, we saw that won on election day. Experience won the day, not those progressive ideas that Alex Morse was pushing forward.
Matt, what's next for Alex Morse? He still has about a year left on his latest term as Holyoke mayor. He's only 31, and he surely picked up some name recognition by challenging Neal.
Yeah, I mean, I think Morse has to decide whether he's going to run for re-election next year. There have been rumblings that he was not planning to, regardless of the, I mean, obviously, if he won, he couldn't remain mayor, but if he had lost, that he was not planning to run for another term. But he has to make that decision. And I mean, there was talk, you know, I mean, he certainly gave the impression that he might consider running in 2022. But, you know, he is young enough that he could just step away from politics for a few years. People are going to remember him for years to come. And he should have a fundraising base that he can use again in the future. So it's really going to depend on how quickly he really wants to get back in the electoral saddle, because there certainly are advantages to taking some time to do other things as well and broaden that resume.
Another story surrounding Tuesday's primary was turnout. All voters could cast ballots by mail because of the pandemic, and turnout in the Democratic primary in the 1st Congressional District was over 140,000. That far exceeded any congressional primary in Western Mass in the last 50 years. Springfield's overall turnout was about 26%, double that of 2 years ago. Matt, what impact did the turnout have across Western Mass?
It elected Adam Gomez to the state Senate. His district was designed to elect or to be elected by the minority community within it, because it's a minority majority district. But the hack to that was that they didn't turn out as much in Springfield. And you saw that change dramatically with the higher turnout. It basically, things happened exactly as the drawers of that district intended. And it turned out Senator Jim Welch and brought Adam Gomez in. I should say there's also an element of provincialism, I believe, in this. I think there are a lot of voters that went to the polls and saw that Adam was from Springfield and they're from Springfield and they wanted a state senator from Springfield, because Adam won areas that I would not necessarily consider to be minority majority in the city.
I was going to say, and the numbers in Holyoke were huge this year, too. When you think about the last primary between Neal and Tahir Amatul-Wadud, and about 3,100 people turned out in Holyoke. There were over 8,000 people who voted in Holyoke this time, in a city that typically sees, 12 or 13% voter turnout. So, I mean, they didn't go for Morse in his home city, but the election certainly got people out to vote.
And it may have caught some city officials by surprise. I spoke to the city clerk in Holyoke on Monday before the election. She figured it was only going to be about 18 or 19%, but obviously the voters turned out in person as well as by mail in Holyoke. And Matt referenced the Adam Gomez victory over incumbent Democrat Jim Welch in the Hamden Senate District in the Democratic primary. And there was another Springfield City Councilor, Orlando Ramos, who won an election on Tuesday. He took the three-way Democratic primary for the open 9th Hamden State House District seat on the Democratic side. Carrie, as we've been talking about, Gomez has no opposition in November. Ramos does have to face an unenrolled candidate in Robert Underwood. In speaking to the Republican newspaper, both did leave the door open for staying in the city council for now. Is that a good idea? Should it come?
Well, I mean, we've certainly seen it in the past in Springfield, whether it's a good idea or not. Bud Williams, he did that before he went on to become state rep. And I think that both Gomez and Ramos raised points in the Republican that they don't necessarily want to toss this decision to city councilors, which is who would have to decide who's going to fill those seats if they do decide to vacate them. They want the voters to have the say.
Matt, what would happen to the city council if both Ramos and Gomez left in midterm?
Because neither of them had opposition or write-in opponents that had at least 100 votes in 2019, the city charter kicks the decision to the full city council. This is unlike what happened when Bud Williams became a state rep, because there was a next highest vote getter that could have taken his seat had he resigned his council term. It's more like what happened in 2012 when Aaron Vega won his state rep seat, where in Holyoke, if you resign, the council picks it no matter what happens. So I think that's a big issue as to why that they'd be reluctant to give up their seats, at least before the ballots are set for next year.
And we wrap up our look back at the primaries by taking a look at the U.S. Senate race on the Democratic side in Massachusetts, where incumbent Ed Markey scored a decisive victory over the challenger, Congressman Joe Kennedy III. Markey will now face Republican Kevin O'Connor in November. Matt, Markey was far behind in the polls at one point. There were whispers that he should just make way for the younger Kennedy. And not only did he stick it out, he won by a pretty healthy margin. How did he pull it off?
By both being establishment and anti-establishment at the same time. Markey enjoyed a considerable amount of support from mainline, regular Democratic establishment figures, and he was able to spark a personality cult, frankly, around his, you know, initiatives like the Green New Deal. I mean, some of these things are very, you know, there's a lot of history behind them. He has a long history of environmental issues, but he was given a progressive, red carpet for a bunch of other issues that he had didn't have anywhere near the history on, but he was very successful at getting young people who support those issues nonetheless.
Carrie, have we seen the end of the so-called Kennedy dynasty? I mean, Kennedys just don't lose in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what everyone has said, right? I don't know what we're going to see from Kennedy. And I think the silver lining for his camp, you know, obviously they lost the day, but there was a dust up in Worcester. There was a full page ad where he misspelled Worcester, and Kennedy won there by about 1,000 votes over Markey. So a little bit of a silver lining for their camp.
All right, Carrie Saldo with WGBH News as the Worcester Bureau reporter, and Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Welcome.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.